This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier of the Get That Gang. Over the next hour and a bit, we'll discuss what we've been up to in our businesses and a top-of-mind topic relevant to trainers. We also talk about events to consider, books to read, a weekly top tip for online course creation, and of course it wouldn't be Trainer Talk, the podcast without the Dog Walking Digest. Every now and again, we invite a guest along to share their experience and expertise. You can contact us through our Facebook group. Just search for Trainer Talk the podcast, or feel free to email either Sharon or me. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk the podcast, and we are at episode number 77. So 77, Sharon, it's a bloom integer, which is very exciting. It's possible for a Sudoku puzzle to have as many as 77 givens, yet lack a unique solution. I knew you were worrying about that, so that's why I brought that one up this week. It's also the boiling point of nitrogen. Not sure if you knew that, but you do now. So there we go, the number 77. How exciting.
It's very exciting. What an exciting start to this week's podcast.
If only you were being serious. But yeah.
Oh, well, let me tell, are you well this morning, first and foremost?
I am well this morning. It's a little bit cooler at the moment, and I think there's some rain forecast for this week, which, as we'll come on to, is not necessarily a bad thing at the moment. But we won't dwell on that right now. But yes, I am well, thank you very much. Shall I carry on and talk about my week? I have big news.
Oh, go on then. You go first then.
I've found some eggs. I know. I know people will be worried about my health because of the lack of eggs that I've been talking about on the podcast. But last week I managed to purchase some eggs. It's very exciting. I have had 2 eggs every day since last Wednesday, making up for a lack of egg protein previously. And I mean, the whole thing was just because I couldn't do my normal Monday night shop because I had a Zoom call, and then I couldn't do it on Tuesday because I had an event. So it's like, well, I've got to go on Wednesday, and I was running out of stuff to have for lunch as well. So it's like, right, I'll have to go on Wednesday.
Sorry about that.
How rude, listeners, honestly. So I had to go Wednesday lunchtime, and I sort of went round the corner to the aisle where the eggs are. It's like, oh my God, they've got eggs. So I bought 2 boxes. I was very excited about this, and I was so thrown out by the fact that I could actually get eggs. It completely threw me for what else I wanted to get as well. So I thought, have I got everything I need? I don't know. It's thrown me off because all I can think about is having some eggs. Boiled eggs and Marmite soldiers. Hello.
Oh, get in there.
Definitely. Definitely, definitely. I've been a very happy girl as far as that's concerned. So that was good. But the other thing that, I mean, you know, yeah, last week was, I say a normal as any week can be at the moment, sort of few meetings, few bits and pieces, getting stuff done, working very hard on the update to the Trainer Talk website and getting everything in the background in place for that. So that will be coming online very soon. But the other thing that happened was a very bizarre conversation. Now, when I first started in business, one of the things I did was join the FSB, the Federation of Small Businesses, right? I don't know if you're a member or not. And I, after the first year, I was like, do you know what? Am I getting anything out of this that I'm not getting through other sources or that kind of thing? I thought, no, I'm not actually, so I'm not going to renew my membership. Fine. Didn't really think anything more of it. But what I do remember is when I first set up my business and first joined, I got a phone call from, I guess, the area organiser or the local contact or something, basically saying to me, he was calling my mobile phone, didn't ask whether or not it was convenient to talk or anything like that, just launched straight into, oh, I'm your local area organizer, we must meet up to have a coffee, blah blah blah, so I can run through everything about the FSB. So like, okay, fine, yeah, no problem. He then proceeded to spend 20 minutes telling me everything that he would have presumably told me over coffee anyway. And then never called me again. So I'm like, right, okay, fine. So, you know, it's just one of those things. Don't really think about it when you're setting up your business. So much to think about in any case. until last week. So I got a LinkedIn request from the same chap. Now, I say it's the same chap. He's got the same name, and it's I'm not going to say the name out loud because that would be indiscreet, but it is one of those names where it's a bit like Bob Smith, where you can there's lots of Bobs and there's lots of people called Smith, yeah. right? So yeah. it could be a different person, but you know, I think it's the same person. So got a LinkedIn request, and he sent me a message saying, "Hello Jeanette, thanks for accepting my invitation to Link and welcome to my network. I'm currently reaching out to people in small business to get a better understanding of how valuable the FSB has and is becoming. To that end, would you care for an online meetup to share some ideas soon?" So I'm sort of, you know, getting this message and thinking, yeah, okay, it's not, you know, I don't have time to shoot the breeze with somebody talking about an organisation that I haven't been a member of. And B, you know, the kind of the, to get a better understanding of how valuable the FSB has and is becoming is kind of, it's a leading question. Yeah. It's a leading yeah. assumption that it is valuable. So I sent him a message back saying, "Hello, I don't think we need an online meetup. I'm not a member. Haven't been for some years. The FSB isn't something that feels necessary for me as a business owner, I'm afraid. Good luck with your research, though." To which he comes back and says, "Hi, Jeanette. Did you not know that the FSB has lobbied for the income schema loans and grants and rate reliefs at this time? We were thanked by the Chancellor on our assistance. It's the most important voice in the UK for us. Much has changed. It's just worth knowing, that's all. Here's a link." And sends me a link to this whole, like, long article and corona advice from the FSB and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, hang on, sunshine. Just, you know, all I've said was, "I'm not a member, but thanks anyway, good luck with it." And you're coming back, "Did you not know?" Like this. Like, yes, I did know that, thank you. Not relevant for my situation. I'm not looking to debate this. The attitude that we're the most important thing for your business was one of the reasons for leaving FSB in the first place. So he comes back to me and says, "As a member myself, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry I can't be of any help." To which I went back to him and said, "Why are you assuming I need help at all? You asked a question in your first message, which I answered honestly for you. You then assumed, presumably because I wasn't complimentary about the FSB, that I wasn't capable of knowing what it does. And now you've assumed that I'm in a situation where help is required." At that point, he unconnected with me. I don't know why. But it was just one of those really bizarre conversations, which was, "I'm looking for people to tell me how brilliant my organisation is. Are you one of them? Oh, you're not. Are you stupid or something?" And it's just like, you know, don't come at me with that attitude, mate. I get that the FSB is something that is incredibly helpful for lots of businesses, but it's a bit like all the government help yeah. And loans and everything else that's going on at the moment. I'm not in a position where any of those are attractive enough or available to me to stop me carrying on with my business. I get, and we've talked about this, that you know, I'm one of the lucky ones, as are you, that we are able to carry on our business at the moment. So why wouldn't we? But you know, just the assumption that, well, you're a small business, so you must be in trouble and you must need my help. I am a white knight on a charger, come to rescue you. It's like, yeah, I'm not actually a damsel in distress, mate, but thanks. So it was just one of those, "Oh, and now you've unfriended me." Oh, buh, 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 buh.
Oh man, he won't mess with you again.
It was just, it was so funny. I thought, I have to remember that one for the podcast. That's hilarious. So there we are. That was kind of the two highlights of my week. Eggs and FSB. How about you? How was your week?
Well, just very busy, very, very, very busy. In fact, it did make me smile. I had an email at one point during the week, and the first sentence was, "Hi, Sharon, I hope you're not too bored in the lockdown."
Bored?
To which I fell about laughing, like, what?
Oh, dear.
Bored is not something that ever enters my vocabulary, really. No. It never really happens, but yeah, so on that point, so last week we had not one but two spotlight sessions in a week.
Very exciting.
One on virtual training and all around how to increase impact and engagement in virtual training sessions run by the wonderful Clinton Wingrove.
Yes, indeed,
one of our Trainers Hook members. And 35 people turned up to that. And
fabulous.
It's like, you know what? Everyone wants to know about virtual training right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do they not? The other one was equally valuable. And it was all about money. Mm-hmm. And that was run by another one of our members, Money Man, Alex Hewlett.
Yes, so indeed.
That was great. That was on Friday. So thanks very much if you're listening to Alex and Clinton for running those sessions for us. Of course, we had Trainers for Locals last week, did we not? And we had one in London, and we had one in Bournemouth.
Yes,
there.
Indeed.
How did that go?
It was brilliant.
That was
the
highlight of your week.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I know the FSB overshadowed it. But it was great. It was really nice. It was a lovely group. There were 10 of us to begin with, but Audrey had to leave early because she had a sniff of some client work, which she was then successful in getting. So absolutely the right decision to make there for her. But we had some really good discussions it wasn't as centered around everything that's going on currently as it might have been. Perhaps if we'd held it a couple of weeks ago, something like that. So although we discussed it, we talked for about half an hour, sort of around mindset and but more actually with a sort of bit like we've been saying in the podcast, with a future focus. So thinking about it in terms of what are people doing now to prepare for when, which was really encouraging to hear about. And then we talked a lot about social media. The highlight of the local, for me certainly, was Renford, lovely Renford Marsden, talking about hydroponics. So he has.
Can you just enlighten me, because I must confess I don't even know what that is.
So it's basically growing he's growing for food groups. I don't know if it's limited to food groups or not, but things like lettuce and tomatoes and I think he said parsley or basil, might have been basil, but you grow it in water, so it doesn't necessarily need to have any kind of soil or compost or anything like that, which is ideal for him at the moment. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me sort of saying he is in a situation where he cannot go outside, and is effectively he's in proper lockdown. I know we talked about safe mode and the difference between safe mode and lockdown. It is a extreme safe mode for Renford at the moment. He can't go out until at least August, if not later. So one of the things, and he said, you know, he bought it years and years ago, this little kit for growing things indoors like that. Mm-hmm. And he just sort of got the kit out and started, you know, sowing the seeds, if that's what you do with water. And he had a picture of the lettuce that he's grown behind him, and it's like it's exploding all over the place. He's been taken over by lettuce. So it was really interesting. It was really good. I mean, you know, we did other businessy stuff. Like, he also showed us the social selling index on LinkedIn, which is something I've seen before, but I know there are a few people on the call that hadn't, and that was really useful. But for me, it was like, oh, look, you're growing things just with water. That's very exciting. I want to know more. So yeah, it was really good. Really good fun.
Really good. Good stuff. So what else did I do last week? Trainers Talk TV had Karen Curitan, who's our lovely local leader for East Midlands, and she was great. Really, really good value. Thoroughly enjoyed talking to her. And can we also give a shout out to Karen, because not only does she listen to the podcast, she was telling me about it in our little chat beforehand, and she particularly loved the story about the rogue milkman. That gave her a real giggle.
Excellent.
But please, we're going to give her a shout out, because I noticed that on LinkedIn she'd done a post about our podcast and told everybody on LinkedIn how great it was and how it was very very much worth listening to. So thank you, Karen. We really
Definitely.
Appreciate that.
We certainly do. And speaking of shout outs, I think at this point, and only purely because I might forget if I don't do it now, shout outs as well to Anne Walsh and to Emma Williams for putting posts on LinkedIn about our Future Fit
Absolutely.
Online programme. So thank you, ladies. We love you lots.
We do, and we really appreciate you. And you know, and on that point, you know, if you are a listener, you know, please, and you do enjoy the podcast, and please do you know, tell your friends on
share
social
the
media.
Love.
We'd very much appreciate that. What else? So gym, obviously lots of gym, just sort of continuing with that. There's a little glimmer of light on my kitchen.
Ooh.
So I had an email, I think it was Thursday, and I had a text first of all and said, important news about your kitchen. I was like, ooh. But basically sort of saying, sounds like they're going to kind of resume production soon, I think, because they were sort of saying that they were just sort of had got all their procedures in place. So, and I was thinking about it, a lot of factories are operating normally, aren't they? Yeah. Now they're doing social distancing. So I'm kind of thinking that that might happen. So that's good news.
Fingers crossed. That's very good news.
Exciting. I've been trying to keep up with still, you know, obviously at the start of this year, it was last year, wasn't it, when I decided to do all these various courses and whatnot. So yep. They're all still continuing and I'm all still going up. And it did make me laugh because I was thinking, oh, God, Tribe is going to be starting again, because as part of our Connect membership, you get to go through Tribe again.
Mm-hmm.
Great, actually, because he's redone the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so it's always good to go through it again and get different perspectives. I'm sure you pick up even more the second time around.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, I've got to add that on top of it, on top of everything as well. And it did make me laugh because watching one of the Shoes videos over the weekend, his 10 in 10s that he does them twice a week for Connect members. He stole my hashtag.
No.
He clearly said that that Tribe Connect was hashtag made for this. He didn't say moment, but he did say made for this. I thought, hello, I got there before you.
You see, somebody at some point is going to say vex it as well. We'll go, oi, that's ours.
I know. So.
Well, Stu McLaren. Well, and for anybody that doesn't know, Stu McLaren, we have talked about it on the podcast before, but he is a world leader in terms of helping people to create membership communities.
He's a lovely man as well.
Yeah, he is lovely.
And he has a dog.
I know. He is. He's just, he's Canadian, which, you know, he's probably got something to do with it. But he is a genuinely lovely person. Really, so you can't get too mad at him. But he really knows his stuff when it comes to membership communities. So whenever Sharon talks about Stu, it's Stu McLaren is who she's talking about.
Stole my hashtag.
Oh, I know. Well, I think you should get in touch with him. Seeing as, you know, I mean, you have conversed with him.
On the next telly, don't you worry. I'm waiting for my opportunity.
Oi, McLaren. No.
Well, what has been actually on that point, what has been really interesting, what he's doing, because obviously now, because last year I saw his whole sort of Tribe launch and ended up obviously signing up for the course on the back of it and then ending up going into Connect membership at the end of it, which although it has been a huge amount of money, actually has been really good because it's just being in that world, you just kind of keep a lot of the stuff is just repeated over and over again, but that's a good thing because it goes in, doesn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, we all know as trainers, you can't just say something once and expect people to get it.
Exactly. But what's been really interesting is that obviously now he is, you know, he's been doing the whole launch thing again.
Yeah.
And he's had to, because he filmed all these videos for the launch way back in January, I think. I remember him doing it, you know, going into the studio, spending days, you know, of course, because of the whole coronavirus thing, he's had to just scrap them all. Because he just feels that he needs to be talking in context right now.
Yeah.
So just basically done them all as Facebook Lives, which has been amazing, actually.
Wow.
But I actually prefer that because I always felt that those videos are just a bit too slick and a bit too overly produced. And in actual fact, he was saying that the engagement that he's been getting has been way higher when he's been doing them, you know, in the moment, so to speak. So.
See, there you are, listeners. Something to really take away from that is, you know, if you've got one of those limiting self-beliefs that says you aren't able to produce really slick, amazing videos, even some of the best in the world who are making millions at this game, you know, have found that being a bit more human, a bit more rough around the edges in what you're producing is getting better results. So no excuses.
No excuses. But as I say, it's been really interesting because he basically we know what he's doing now. Mm-hmm. We can see the formula that he's got and we can see what he's doing because we know what he's doing because he's been telling us for the past year.
Absolutely.
And it's been really fascinating to have that insight. And he actually went through the whole of the sales webinar that he's been doing.
Nice.
He went through the whole of the slides and told us why why does he talk about this?
Yeah.
Here's the next slide, and here's why I talk about this, and this is why I do it. And it's really interesting to
definitely
to see it all sort of come together like that.
Behind the scenes stuff, I think, is really, really valuable. And again, it's a different way of presenting your information. It's a similar thing. Not that I would put myself anywhere near the same league as Stu McLaren, but it's a similar thing to when I do my follow along in a day. Online course creation, so people can see me putting a course together as opposed to me telling them how to put a course together. And it's always, I think, a really valuable learning experience. So it must have been amazing for you. Is it giving you all sorts of ideas? You got a full journal written down of stuff to try.
Oh God, it just, you know, I just, yeah. I mean, honestly, the last 2 years has been, well, it's not a full year, it's the whole of last year and obviously the start of this year. You know, I'm aware I've spent a lot of money, but I don't regret any of it, because you do, you reap what you sow, don't you?
Totally.
Absolutely do. It's just, it all goes in, and it's been amazing. And in actual fact, the whole coronavirus thing, if I hadn't invested that money and learned what I've learned in the last 15 months, I don't think I would have been able to survive this in quite the same way. Because certainly the stuff that I've been doing with Michael Neal, I definitely think differently than I used to.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. So, you know, it's all worth it. Investments, people.
Definitely. Personal development, such an important thing. Such an important thing.
Yeah. And on that note, we've had lots of signups for our new courses.
We have. Very exciting.
So shout out to all those people who have chosen to invest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very, very important. And we're absolutely confident that you're going to get sheds load back in return.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are going to be giving you our full attention for sure. Over the next 6 weeks,
definitely,
which is going to be great, isn't it?
I know. By the time the podcast goes out, we'll have done our first two webinars, which is very exciting. I mean, I'm just sort of looking at slides and downloads and all sorts of stuff at the moment.
I was doing it over the weekend, kind of redoing everything, and it's going to be really nice for me to actually do the webinars during the day as well, because, you know, historically I've always done them at 7 o'clock at night, which, because I'm aware that that's when people are more likely to join in the normal world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's sometimes not always great to be thinking about presenting a webinar at 7 o'clock at night. So, you know, it's going to be even nicer presenting it during the day.
Exactly.
So, really looking forward to that. And I think that's about it, really. I think that was my week.
Nice. One thing that, well, it's kind of, it wasn't really last week, it's more this week, is that I'm also, at the same time as recording the podcast, I'm also running a virtual version of the online course creation bootcamp. Which people might go, hang on a minute there, Jeanette, what's going on? Normally, with the live in-person online course creation bootcamp, we would move the podcast recording. But today is the middle day of the bootcamp, and it's traditionally the filming day, which means there's not an awful lot for me to do other than keep checking in with people to make sure everybody's getting on all right with their filming. There have been some technical issues for one of our number this morning, but not to worry, I'm sure it will all come good in the end. It's exciting that that's going on at the moment, and that people are going to come out hopefully tomorrow afternoon with pretty much an online course done and dusted and ready to rock.
Exciting. And of course, and that's going to happen for all those, hopefully for all the people who are going to be going through our Future Fit program over the next by the end of it, you hopefully should have an online course ready to roll.
Definitely.
Got your business all sorted out, your niche sorted out, your marketing sorted out. Oh, it's all very exciting. We're going to get them working hard.
Oh, yes. And of course, by the time anybody is listening to this, it'll be too late if they're on the program going, hang on, I didn't think I was going to have to work that hard. Too late. You're in it now. We've started.
Yeah.
I feel I should insert an evil cackle there. I don't think I've got one of those in the library. I might have to look for that. But anyway, all right, so top of mind.
Yes, top of mind, right, okay. Came across an interesting article. been posted in various places on social media. It was actually an article on the BBC website about the reason Zoom calls drain your energy.
Mm-hmm.
There has actually been quite a bit of talk in our community over the last couple of weeks about people feeling zoomed out. You know,
yes.
Zoomed out seems to be, let's add that to our list of phrases that people use in coronavirus. And let me tell you, if one more person uses the word pivot, I am going to explode.
Indeed. Pivot.
When did that become a word?
Oh, yeah. It's certainly popular at the moment. That's for sure. That's for
Indeed. Sure. Yeah, we'll add that to the list. So the article was really, really interesting and kind of explains a lot in terms of why we do perhaps feel zoomed out.
Yeah.
And the first thing that they were talking about is that when you're on a Zoom, you've got to work harder to pick up on people's body language, etc.
True. So. True. Absolutely. And I think if you think about it, one of the things that you need to remember to do for a Zoom call when you're speaking to other people is look into your camera as opposed to look at the person. So although, listeners, you won't be able to see this, I'm looking at my camera at the moment, but if I actually look into Sharon's eyes, it doesn't look like I'm looking at her. So it's very, very odd. But of course, normally what we would do is look at somebody's face, we'd look at their expression, we'd look at what they're doing. But I can only see what Sharon's doing kind of out the corner of my eye when I am talking with her and talking at the webcam, and so that requires an awful lot more processing by our brains to kind of work out what's going on. So for the example, at the moment I can see that you're nodding your head, but I can't see if you're I think you're smiling now. Yes, you are. You see? So it's kind of, you know, it takes an awful lot more. And I think what we're realizing now is just how much work our brain does when we are in a normal conversation with somebody in person to help us understand the sort of the nuances of what's going on and what's being said. So it does make sense that that it's harder work for us when it's a Zoom conversation. And also, it's, you know, I mean, no matter how good your monitor is and the display is and the resolution of your screen and all that kind of stuff, it's still pretty 2D as opposed to 3D. And that means we have to work harder as well, I think.
Yeah. So that was interesting. The second one was about, and this is, and I've actually noticed this myself. I was thinking about this, about silence. Because they were saying in the article that if there's a silence when you're on Zoom, makes you more anxious about the technology, that something kind of isn't working. And also, if there is a silence, then people, and you don't feel it, then people perceive you as being unfriendly, which was quite interesting. But I do notice that, actually. I was thinking about that the other day when I'm kind of running a spotlight session or an online clinic session, like at the start when kind of everybody's coming on, I feel the need that I have to just keep talking to people
when
we get started, you know. I know, because I don't want to feel that awkward silence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very odd, but I'm not sure whether that is just strictly relevant to Zoom meetings. I would have thought that's the case for all kind of human interactions, really. I don't know.
Well, I think it is documented that some people are uncomfortable with silence in conversations. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a well-known negotiation tactic, isn't it? It's sort of, you know, just don't be the first person to speak, which I can imagine causes some problems at some points. But when you've put sort of your offer or your bargaining chip on the table, so to speak, it's sort of the first person to speak is kind of lost a little bit of power in the conversation. And there is a temptation sometimes for people to sort of fill gaps and fill silences because they feel awkward. I mean, there's all sorts of, we haven't got either the time, and I certainly haven't got the expertise to go into all of that, but I do know that it's a real thing. I mean, I have a friend who is an absolute case in point with that. Even if, and I always forget this because we don't do it that often, going to the cinema with her, if there's silence in the film, then she feels like she has to speak. And it's just honestly, that's why I would never go to the cinema with her to see a film that I really want to see. I'll go see a film that is kind of, yeah, okay, I can take it or leave it. And that's fine, because it means inevitably when she starts talking, I'm not going to get annoyed because I'm concentrating on the drama. But I digress. On a Zoom meeting, yeah, I think because we have known there to be issues with people's internet freezing and that kind of thing, and sometimes you can sort of be talking and out the corner of your eye you can't see somebody nodding along and you can't see them moving, so then it's kind of, oh, I need to look at you, and are you frozen, are you not frozen, are you blinking, are you not blinking, and it is that extra anxiety and stress, isn't it, of kind of, oh no, are we gonna have to start again, what's going on? And if you're not familiar with the technology and its little foibles, and you know, we had some fun with technology last week with the Zoom call, didn't we? Recording the podcast, and we got there in the end. But I think if it's one of your first few times on a meeting like that, and I remember the first time I used similar technology, way before Zoom, it was when I was in a corporate role using, I think it was Microsoft Link, and I really hated the thought. Can you imagine? I really hated the thought of doing that. It was something that was so totally alien to me. I'm really not very good at spotting things that are going to become integral parts of my life moving forward. But I put the headphones on and I had the little headpiece with the microphone and da-da-da and plugged it all in and thought I'd done everything. And it turned out at the end of the call, I sort of switched everything off, and the team said, did you know we could hear everything that was going on? I said, no! They said, oh no, we thought you wanted us to. It's like, oh no, I thought I'd plugged it in so that you weren't disturbed by the other person talking. Turned out I had the headphones on for absolutely no reason whatsoever. But that's an aside. I've got better at these things since, I hope. But I can absolutely appreciate that one. You know, the fear of silence, what does it mean? And it's, again, I think there is a difference in a face-to-face conversation where you depending on how comfortable I think you feel with the other person, silence is sometimes absolutely fine. But I do think it has a slightly different connotation, doesn't it, on a Zoom call or a computer call of some description.
And talking of getting stressed and anxious, the third one was about physically being on camera. And aware of being watched, and that there's kind of like a pressure to perform, and you have to look at your own face. Yes.
I don't know. I don't know that I agree wholly with that one. And the reason that I say that is, if you're doing it properly, you should be looking at the camera, not looking at your face. So, I mean, you know, I'm aware that I'm talking again, like I can see you out the corner of my eye, I can see me out the corner of my eye, you know, and with Zoom you can have gallery view or speaker view, so if I'm speaking then I might be the only person on the screen, but you know, I choose to have gallery view so I can see you at the same time as well. I am a lot more practiced at doing this stuff than a lot of people. You and I both are. I mean, partly because this is episode 77. We've had at least 77 instances of a Zoom call every week for the past however long. But at the same time, I get the fear about being on camera. But the sort of, you know, having to look at yourself thing, I think, you know, really, really should only come into it when and if you're doing any editing afterwards or something like that. Otherwise, it is perfectly possible to ignore yourself.
Okay, I'll give that one a try.
Fair enough.
And then the other one was about, this is interesting, about people feeling forced into them. A reminder of what you've lost. So, i.e. we should really be meeting for coffee, so we really shouldn't be having to do this on Zoom. And also an aspect of life that used to be separate now all happens in the same space. So a great quote was, imagine if you go to a bar and in the same bar you talk with your professors, meet your parents or date someone. So that's quite interesting, that it's kind of feels like it's the only space where all this activity is happening, and it can feel a bit obligated to join in because we feel we ought to.
I think there's definitely something in that. And I mean, you know, for those of us that are used to working at home regularly anyway, like I am, like you are, you know, it's not as weird as it might be, but certainly for people who are used to getting up every day and going into an office, then I think there is a danger of blurring that line between work and home. And I think that is something that, you know, isn't necessarily linked to Zoom calls. I think it's a wider thing about people who have not been used to working from home on such a regular basis, having to get very used to that very quickly. Whereas those of us that have chosen a freelance lifestyle, you know, have kind of had some opportunity to ease ourselves into it over a period of time. I mean, if you're new to business, then, you know, you're going to be in the same situation, I would imagine. So yeah, that I think is something that we have to give ourselves boundaries, I think.
Yeah.
In order to make sure that we don't allow these things to overlap too much, because otherwise you don't get the necessary separation between I've finished my work for the day, I am now relaxing. And if you don't have that, then you kind of, your brain doesn't know when to switch off. And that in itself, I think, can be much more stressful, can't it?
Yeah, because the Friday night was you know, that day where I had an all day Zoom, like on the mastermind thing, then I had the wine o'clock, and then I went straight into similar with my friends. And by the time it got to like 11:15, I was like, oh God, I really am zoomed out now.
Yeah.
Else now, you know.
Totally. Oh, I completely get that. I mean, that was a marathon session. That was 13 hours on Zoom, which I don't envy you that at all, despite the fact that, like you say, it were for different purposes. You know, one was very business, one was semi-business, and one was friends. Now, you know, the reason I call 1 o'clock semi-business is because, you know, it's your community coming together, and organized by you for community morale. But at the same time, it's not like if we talk business at all, I think we'd probably get shot down in flames.
Well, Liam Watson described it as a hen party last
night. You know, I think Simon Linnard quite enjoyed it, actually.
I think he did.
He's coming back.
He's, definitely. I'm going to try and get Bart Williams in as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold his hand.
Definitely. Ian Crossley hasn't been back since we started. Well, it was Carrie, really. Carrie was talking about giving him a makeup session?
Makeup session, yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Anyway, so some good points there, I think, that came out of that article. They did also come up with a number of solutions as to how we can kind of stop ourselves feeling so zoomed out.
Nice.
So just quickly run through them. One is to limit the Zoom time.
Mm-hmm.
One is that turning on camera should be optional. So if you're in a meeting with somebody, don't feel that. I mean, I do like to see people generally.
Me too.
But maybe as the person running the meeting, we should be mindful that maybe not everybody wants to switch their camera on and be seen, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Having the screen off to the side helps concentration, possibly, because when you're in a meeting, maybe somebody would be sitting to one side of you in a meeting rather than you like being head on with the person.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting
one.
Yeah,
I can see that. I mean, for me, my webcam sits on top of my monitor, so it would require a bit more thinking to actually make that happen. But I can see that being a useful tip, yeah.
Mm. Think whether a Zoom meeting is always strictly necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So share files with notes instead.
Mm-hmm.
One, make sure that you have buffers between Zoom meetings, which is that we do that, and have it, you know, drink, exercise in between, etc. And one that I just added to, I wanted to add to as well, was just to use other platforms for a change. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to use Zoom. You know, did you hear now? Apparently Facebook have jumped on the bandwagon, as they, you know, good old Zuck, you know, he's come up with it. So he's, I mean, I quite often use Facebook Messenger on a video call anyway, if it's just one person.
Yeah.
Because it's quick and easy. You don't have to like give people the Zoom link. You can just call them directly from your phone or your laptop, and WhatsApp as well. So I quite often do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, sometimes I think it's just nice to just have a different interface.
Yeah.
That can help feel zoomed out. But yeah, Facebook Messenger, are now going to give people the ability to have more than one person, which is going to be great, you know, because I'm all for quick and easy, as you know. I don't have to give somebody a Zoom link.
Yep.
And so, and people are going to come back to me and go, oh, I can't find the link. I can't find the password. You know, give me a Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp call any day of the week. So that's going to be
there
really
cool. Nice. No, I like that. I think there's lots of useful little tips in there, aren't there? And, yeah. You know, I mean, what I'm looking at saying is the world has changed. I mean, duh, state the obvious, Jeanette, but I think we are all now in a position where even people who were very anti or, you know, very fearful of speaking with others in this way, I think now have been to a certain extent forced into this situation, and it moves people on and out of their comfort zone, and you know, without getting all sort of motivational guru-y about it, the only way that we grow as human beings is to stretch ourselves and to push ourselves outside of our comfort zone. If we always do things that we're comfortable with, we're not actually going to grow in terms of our skills. This situation has forced not only companies to embrace online, but individuals to embrace the technology as well. So I think we have seen a giant leap forward. I don't think we are going to go back to, I don't think there will be many people after this has returned to some semblance of whatever normal is going to look like. I don't think there'll be many people that will go, no, I'm never having another online meeting again. But I think there are a lot of people for whom they will come out the other side thinking, actually, I'm okay with it now. And I'm quite happy to incorporate it as part of what I do. So good stuff.
Yeah, good. Right. So dog walking digest.
Yes.
Right. Shall we have a
rant? Prepare yourself, listeners. Prepare yourself. That's all I'm going to say. 3, 2, 1, Sharon, go.
Well, I know you agree with me on this, but what part of the simple instruction of only going out to exercise for 1 hour and staying away from other people in the process is so hard to understand?
Yeah.
Right, case in point, right, on Saturday. And the thing is, the weather is not helping because we've had this amazing weather.
True.
And, you know, people do want to go out. And we've reported on the Dog Walking Digest many times over the last, you know, however many episodes, that there is such a thing as fair weather dog walkers.
Yes.
You know, people that only take their poor dog out when it's like 23 degrees and sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's all those people. But now there's all the fair weather walkers who just, if it wasn't for coronavirus, wouldn't be out going out to get this daily exercise.
Absolutely.
And when the weather is nice, they go out in droves. So Saturday, the first incident. So I'm walking along and everything, walking down this road where, you know, clearly in my view, there wasn't enough space for two people to pass safely.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw these two blokes coming towards me. And I just sort of thought, I looked around, I thought, where can I go? And I thought, okay, well, I'll go on the grass verge and I'll step right back almost sort of into the trees and they can walk past safely. Anyway, they were wandering along, shuffling along. They were quite elderly. And then he saw me and he stopped and he sort of shouted over the, you know, over the road. He went, oh, what's your dog doing there? Is he, does he need a rest? It's a bit hot today, isn't it? And I went, no, I'm staying away from you. And then he goes to me, oh, he said, you're not bothered about all that, are you?
Oh,
he said, you know, I don't believe in all this 6 feet business. It doesn't make any difference. It's all airborne anyway. At which point I went, oh, great. We're all going to die then, are we? So have a nice afternoon. I had like steam coming out of my ears at this point, you know. I was like, Jesus. This is what you're up against.
Totally. And I have to say, there are some people around here that seem to think that exercise means go to the park and sit down.
Yes, we've got those as well. With your picnic blanket and football with the kids to spend, you know, a couple of hours there in the afternoon.
Completely.
You know, I mean, I saw people, so that was the first incident on Saturday. And then Sunday, I thought, okay, well, I'll have a little stroll down to the beach. I walked through some woods, a different way I would normally go, you know, down the beach, got to the end. Oh, look magnificent. Oh my goodness, the sun, it was gorgeous. The pier was looking lovely. Great, can't wait to get down there. Got to the route where the promenade, I looked at one look, I thought, no way.
Really?
Can I go any further? So the cyclists were out in droves, mm-hmm. you know, lycra clad, backpacks, there for the duration. They're all cycling along. There were at least, they were in packs of six or seven of them all together. Then literally, obviously, we have a cycle path and we have a mm-hmm. people path, which are very close together. And people are just walking along and the cyclists are just going past constantly. And I'm like, well, I can't even get to the beach because I can't pass yeah. through the people safely.
Yeah.
And I just went back and I just thought, do you know, Jeanette, I got home and I felt really, I felt angry, but I felt really depressed by it as well, because I thought, this is going to take so long to get through this because people are just not getting it. And as somebody who is sitting here who has not seen her children for quite some time mm-hmm. and would quite like to see my children at some point in this year,
yeah,
I'm just despairing. Mm-hmm. I'm just despairing.
Oh, I'm yeah, you know, I'm totally with you on that one. And I mean, I had, I think it was yesterday, taking Scamp out for his evening walk, and there's the way we go into the park for his evening walk. I've don't know why I've always done it this way. If we go during the daytime, I go one way, and then if we go in the evening, I go another way, which involves walking through the car park, which of course should be empty, mm-hmm, regularly 12 cars in there, through the car park and up past the council buildings. And it's a fairly narrow kind of strip that goes past the council buildings to get out onto the expanse of the park. So we're walking along and I must have been maybe 2 or 3 metres from the end where it opens out. And this small boy, I don't know, 9, 10, maybe 11, on his bike, comes shooting down, wobbles onto the pavement, this little alleyway thing, and then goes past me. And I was so shocked because I kind of saw him and expected him to stop because there was nowhere else for me to go other than backwards. And it's like, okay, so you're going to stop so that I can come through and then fine. No, straight through. So I'm afraid I shouted at him, 2 metres! And it was just, I don't, you know, and the parents are there and they're there with their friends and they're there with their other children wandering around, blah-de-blah-de-blah. And it's just like, seriously? And I was saying the other week, wasn't I? You know, parents are teaching their children one of two things at the moment, either about the greater good or that it's okay to break the rules if you don't really believe it.
Yeah,
and it's yeah. just, I'm just flabbergasted. And again, yeah. like you yesterday, I sort of reached the end of the dog walk and thought, actually, I'm not sure I like most of the human population because they're so selfish. I mean, yeah. I was so very tempted to go up to this group of 4 adults sitting around with another 2 adults that came along, and everybody's kind of making this pretense that they're standing apart from each other. It's like, you shouldn't be standing still. You shouldn't be sitting down. And 4 of them were sitting down and had been there for quite some time. And I was saying to you earlier, I kind of felt like going up to them and saying, can I just check? Do you understand that what you're doing is actually against the rules?
Yeah.
You know, not trying to pick a fight with anybody, but genuinely interested to know, do you get that what you're doing is not allowed? And there's a reason it's not allowed. But the more people that do what you do, which is be selfish, the longer this thing is going to take to blow over. You know,
I mean, I was walking down to, so on Saturday, yes, I walked down to Underhill Park, which is like the main, well, the only, but the main park in Mumbles, really.
Mm.
And I was literally, and I just sort of came down the hill and I got there and I looked at it and it's a big expanse of grass. And I thought, okay, well, I can't go over there because there's 4 people sitting on the picnic blanket mm-hmm. with their kids. I can't go over there because the same, I can't go over there. And it's like, well, because when people are sitting down, that you can't pass. The idea is keep moving, keep walking, people.
Exactly.
So, oh God, I was just like,
completely, completely. And it is. I mean, you know, under normal circumstances, I'm quite able to be pretty tolerant of what's going on. But at the moment, I'm feeling frustrated the same as everybody else is. And it just makes it so much harder to actually enjoy my time outside because I'm trying to constantly dodge all these people.
Yeah, it's so stressful.
It's crazy.
If it wasn't for Jem, I wouldn't be going out at all. Yeah. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd just do extra exercise inside the house or whatever. Because sad as it is, because it's lovely to be outside, but I just, it's... Anyway, on a lighter note, though, our little Jem, she was hilarious. So, you know, I was telling you about the this habit that she's got about picking up stones on the beach.
Yes.
Walks all the way home with them and then sort of wanders around the house for ages with them. She almost goes into a little trance as well. It's really weird.
Hypnotic stone gathering.
It's very weird. Well, hilarious. I didn't know, but Jim told me about because he takes her down to the beach in the morning. That's when she picks up the stones. Mm. And then walking back up through the garden, so this lovely stream that runs down. And she always goes in there and has a drink. But of course, now she's got the stone in her mouth. So it's a big dilemma for Spaniel. So she's in there and she's like looking at Jim. So she just looks at the water and she looks at him and she looks at the water. And she looks at him, and he's like, right, okay, you're going to need to drop the stone now, Jem, to have a drink. She looks at the water. She looks at him. She looks at the water.
That's hilarious.
And then decides not to bother and keeps the stone in her mouth and walks home.
So funny. Oh God, that's like Scamp when he's got a toy rubber bone thing that he loves to. He self distracts with it very well, and it's normally on the bed. But you know, it's not. It's heavy, but it's not massive. And if it falls off the bed, he sort of looks at me and looks at the bone and looks at me again. It's like, well, you can get down and pick it up and bring it back, you know. And it's almost as if he's kind of, no, I don't know how to do that. He's like, what? Very, very odd. Very odd. They are funny, aren't they? Really, really funny. I mean,
very funny.
Speaking of odd habits, so Scamp knows intimately all the people that normally have treats when we go walking and has no compunction about running over to them. And for some of them, he will jump up at them to say, I'm here. I'm here. Give me my treat. Now, there's a guy called Charlie who owns Monty, the chocolate lab, and a lady called Sean who owns Gus, the black lab. And we know them quite well and have, when we're allowed, been walking with them and that kind of thing. So I've seen them a couple of times and saw them this morning. Now the big joke is that Charlie usually carries like proper meaty dog treats, as in homemade dog meaty dog treats, as opposed to shop bought ones, and Scamp absolutely adores them, which is why he always runs up to Charlie whenever, even if Sean has had exactly the same treat. He's kind of turned his nose up at it a little bit. And of course, she's taking this personally. And I'm going, no, I'm sure it's not you. And then he drops it and I pick it up and give it to him and he takes it. So, you know, getting fussy anyway. He's recently started getting fussy with Charlie insofar as he'll take the tree and then he'll put it down to one side and then he'll look back up and go, what else you got? And he's kind of, mate, come on, you can't possibly be that rude. And then eventually he will, you know, he'll eat something. What he did this morning, we saw Sean this morning. We were sort of, you know, she was going through into the park and we were walking around the corner. So he was begging her for a treat. She's going, but you won't like it. You never take them from me. So he gave her this treat. He kind of spat it on the ground and looked back at her as if to say, what else have you got? And then she went, well, if you're not going to take it, I shall pick it up. At which point he turned around, picked it up and ran away from her. So, well, you know, I'm not, if that's all you've got, I'll have it. It's like, mate, you are so rude. I can't believe you're doing that.
Hold on. Speaking of Jem, she has awoken and now wants to go out of the door. Hold on.
Well, I suppose it has been a while since she's interrupted the podcast recording.
Indeed. She was bark out on that chair. It's all that carrying of stones. It's tied around.
Yeah, that's the thing. And now you've been talking about stones and she's like, oh, stones, yes. I must go find some.
I know.
Aww. So that's the dog walking digest then for this week. A little bit of a rant, but ending on a happy note.
Ending on a happy note.
So events to consider.
Events. Well, Transport Locals, haven't got any more now in April, but we have got two coming up in May. Both on the same day, on the 29th of May. So we have East Midlands and we have Edinburgh. So pop yourself onto the Trainer Talk website, Trainer Talk local page, and get yourself booked on there.
Definitely.
And then we've got Trainer Talk Live on the 5th of June. Trainer Talk Live, hashtag virtual, which is going to be fun, isn't
Definitely.
It? Definitely. It's a virtual event. So if you haven't, if you are a member, then go. If you're a member, listen carefully to me now.
This is fast becoming the is there a replay additional bane of your life. Go on.
Honestly, how many emails did I have to answer on Friday about people not going through to the Trainer Talk website and registering in the members area like they normally would do?
Yeah, like they've always done. Yeah. I mean, I can understand it for people who are new to membership. They might be a bit confused about that. And hopefully the additions on the website with the extra signposting that's on there now, people who are very new won't get confused. But for anybody that's booked more than once, you know what to do. What's going on? I think people were just having a funny 5 minutes.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I mean, the trouble for you is that it causes a load of admin, doesn't it? Because the system then puts them through the mechanism, which then sends them a prompt to pay.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, I think it was Friday or Thursday, I seemed to spend the whole day responding back to people. Because, of course, what happens if they go into the website and register there on the booking page, it then triggers the email to say that you haven't paid. And so then they're sending messages to me, go, oh, but I don't need to pay because I'm a member. It's like, I know, go register by the members area.
Yeah.
So we had all this to and fro. And then that was the whole thing about them people, but I haven't got an email. What email is this? Mm-hmm. And then like, etc. And shout out to Paul Harris, bless him, because I was literally tearing my hair out at one point. Because I could see in Infusionsoft that people had the emails and they had been sent them.
Yeah.
And so he said, it might be an idea to check your junk mail before sending a message or email to Sharon.
If you wouldn't mind. I mean, I genuinely, and I had checked, didn't get anything until the following morning, and then all three came through at once, or two or three came through once, which I'm going to put down to my email system queuing things up and not letting them come through. But even so, it was all a bit of a palaver, wasn't it?
It was all a bit frenetic when it didn't really need to be. but anyway, so if you remember, please go and register via the Trainer Talk website in the members area, just like you normally would.
Absolutely.
But if you are a non-member or an online member, then go to booking page. And register and pay your money there.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. Exactly.
Right. Online course creation tips.
Yes, indeed. So this week, our tip is number 24, which is about encouraging learners to think of their own examples that match a concept. So this, I would imagine, is something that we probably do during a face-to-face training session anyway, which is encourage a bit of a self-reflection time. But this is quite specific in so far as when you are creating an online course, you will be explaining different concepts to people, and hopefully you will be including metaphors or analogies or something along those lines to help people get the concept that you're explaining. But the step beyond that is to then say to them, right, I've given you an example of how this works, now you think of an example of how this works, and they can come up with their own metaphor or analogy or whatever, allegory or parallel or however many names we want to come up with for more or less the same sort of thing. Yes, pedants, I know they are different things. However, let's not get into that now, because I'm one of those pedants. But what you're trying to do is stimulate this original thinking. You're trying to get them to take the knowledge and apply it elsewhere, which of course means they need to come up with their own examples. Now, depending on whether or not you are running your course as completely standalone, independent, what's called an evergreen course, which means you don't have any personal involvement in it other than answering questions that might come through on email, so you're not involved in assessments or anything like that, then you know, you are leaving people to either do it themselves or not. You can also build it into a blended program, though, where there might be a live element, or you might be drip feeding the course, or you might want some kind of assessment criteria in there, which could include them showing you the additional example or the alternative example that they've come up with, so that you can test their understanding of the concept. But of course, that requires input from you, which makes it actually makes it a blended program as opposed to a pure online course. But the point stands that it's always good to just sprinkle your teachings, your lessons, with a few questions here and there, just to say to people, you know, why not think of your own example? What examples can you come up with that deliver the same sort of end point? That kind of thing. Now, you know, we're not necessarily all going to be training stuff that has a cut and dried example of concepts like that. But whatever way you can think to use this and apply this to what you're doing is going to be a good thing. So there we are. That's this week's online course creation top tip.
There we are. Mm-hmm. So I think we're done for this week, Jeanette.
I know. And in a shocker, we have come in at, well, by the time I've added the top and the tail, it's going to be slightly more than an hour, but only just. I know. Yeah. I know. That's what ranting does for you.
Excellent stuff. So, yes, if you've enjoyed the podcast this morning, if you enjoy all of our episodes, please do. Share the podcast with your friends. We would really appreciate that. Go and join the Trends Not the Podcast Facebook group. That's a good way of keeping in touch with us. And if you do want to get in touch with us in any other way, we're all over the internet.
We are. Yeah, it's impossible. It's impossible not to find us, I think, is the way to describe it. Brilliant. All righty. Well, thank you very much again, everybody. We will speak to you again next week. Take care. Bye. Bye.